Good to see you all. Microphone's on.
How's it sound? Well, unfortunately, now you'll hear me. I'm very pleased to be here with you today. We've been out and about for the last few weeks, it seems. I want to talk about a subject that I feel like every preacher preaches about every Sunday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. When they're out in the field, it's also at the core of the message that they bring. And so I'm not going to bring you something new. I may use some different scriptures than you're used to hearing on this subject. But the subject is love. And I'm talking specifically about the great commandment of the law. And so let me turn to Matthew 22. I always recommend taking notes. I know that you can go back and pick these things up online. You can listen to these sermons again because they're recorded. But when you take notes, when you write things down, during the week you can go back and read for yourself. Really investigate it. Find even deeper things that maybe the preacher forgot to say. But I'll start in chapter 22 of Matthew. Let me start with verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence," and this is Jesus they speak of, "they were gathered together, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So this is at the core, the very core of everything. And it does involve both sides of that commandment, the first and the second, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind. And that the second is likened to it, and that's that we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's sometimes easier within these four walls, sometimes easier within the church, maybe sometimes not. But I am literally talking about our neighbor, everyone we come in contact with, whether it be in our neighborhood where our house is, whether it be the fellow drivers that are next to you on the freeway. There is a message you give at all times. And it all depends on this relationship, this love between you and God. It's the core. So let me go to Exodus. If this is the first commandment, let's go back many, many years and read a little bit. It'd help if I turn back to Exodus. But I'll read a little bit about the Ten Commandments, because I feel like there's a connection there too. So this will be Exodus, the 20th chapter, and I'm going to start with the first verse. "And God spake all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, but out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold thee guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou shalt not, easy for me to say here. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord had, for the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And I, you know, this was at the core of the law of Moses, these things written here. And yet, listen to this New Testament thing that it says here. It's in that fifth and sixth verse. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them. He has just been talking about making a graven image and worshiping it, or worshiping anything except for God. And it comes back to that deep, direct love for your God, the God. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So it's written there too. It's written there too. And I think of the difference here, because none of us are sinners, right? What's all the silence? Trish, why are you nodding your head? It's because we are sinners. Those sins that are visited on the third and the fourth generation, you know, that applies to us. The only thing that saves us is because of this love, he has mercy on us. That helps save our children. That helps turn us around. I think of, you know, one of the things I like to say is that this is an introductory service. You come, you listen to the preacher and consider the things they have to say. Maybe you take notes and you're going to study on it later. But then, what's the next service? You're going to open the doors and you're going to go out there and serve God for the week. And that's so important, so important. So it was in the old law, it's in the new law. Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. It's one of the favorite places to read concerning these things. It's going to speak about that special love. 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter. Because I think it really emphasizes well just how important this is. 13th chapter of Corinthians, and I'm going to start with verse 1. But you know what? I'm going to open my Book of Mormon 2 to page 468 for those of you who are following. Because I think it enters into the same discussion. Okay, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you look up this word in the Greek, the word that this was translated from was love. But it was actually the word agape, which is a very special kind of love. So every time I say charity here, it doesn't not mean being charitable and giving to people. That's all part of the first and second commandment. It's all part of what this, that everything is based on, that love between you and God and that love between you and your neighbor. So charity means agape or love. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's kind of an extreme statement. But this is at the core. It has to be at the core of our life. It's what guides us, is this love that connects us to the Lord, that allows Him to openly speak to us through His Holy Spirit, to guide us, to teach us, to see things clearly. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know, I think of these things, and it reminds me of the service I just came from. It was a little unusual. We had probably a large normal crowd in Phone Church, but we were also joined by the Warrensburg local today. Their whole local came to Phone Church because their preacher was going to preach for us also, Brother Jim Case. We had Omar was with us from United Arab Emirates, is that where he is? In Dubai, or where is he? Saudi Arabia. So, you know, for me, For me and Cindy, it was about 9 o'clock this morning that we were in that service. And for him, it was, I think, around 7 o'clock in the evening. So as you look across, there's quite a span. We actually, when we first started this, it was based on East Coast time. It's normally preaching at 11 a.m. So that's how it hits Phoenix here, you know. A lot of time zones, a lot of people were there. But it was neat. But there is a difference, I'll remind us, between knowledge and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that connection that comes by our love of God, His love for us. One of the neat things today, as we were studying Isaiah, Omar was studying in his English Bible he was following, but he was also studying in the Hebrew Bible. So he was able to actually add additional insight as to the definitions of different words and stuff during the discussion. And I believe that out of God's love for us, He gives us these things. And yet, I respect knowledge. I do. I think it's important. I think it's important for us to get educated. I think it's a good thing if you can, to be able to even go to college. But remember, all of it is nothing without that charity, without that pure love of God. All of it is nothing without that pure love of God. How far did I get? Actually, I could probably stop reading there and go ahead and jump over to the Book of Mormon there on page 768. And if you read leading up to this back on page 767, which is like chapter 7 of Moroni, starting maybe with verses 45 and reading on through to the end, verse 53. It reminds us that this is talking about those who have a relationship, those who proclaim Jesus Christ. It's talking about those that are humble. And it says that if we aren't humble, that these things don't apply to us. That He can't entertain us if we're not humble. And He speaks about faith and hope and charity, just like it did here in chapter 13. But I want to jump right in with verse 52 and 53, right after it's spoken about this charity, it adds these additional words. It says, "Wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which He hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of His Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as He is pure." Amen. And as I read through this, I have a memory of a good sermon I heard one time back in Independence. And one of the main points the preacher made was, you know, you can read these verses. You can read these verses in the Book of Mormon here. You can read these verses in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and you can say, okay, here are the attributes of charity. So you make it a checklist. You start with suffering long, maybe, and you work on it. You work on it sometimes 2-3 weeks till finally I feel like, you know, I've kind of got this under my belt. And then he says, and then you move on to the next attribute. And by, you meet all those attributes, so you have charity. And he said, no. We can always work by knowledge. This is about a real love between you and God. A real love between you and your neighbor. You have, that is the core. That's where it starts. And all the other attributes by themselves don't add up to that charity. That's why you pray with all the energy of heart that the Lord would help you to have that. That it would be the thing that possesses your heart. I don't want to come off false here. I've been having a lot of fun studying Spanish lately. And there's statements that, you know, don't really directly translate into English. You can say, te amo. And what's that mean, Jay? Te amo. I love you. You can say, te quiero. And what's that mean? I want you. Te amo. As I was reading on this, because see, when I say false, I'm probably coming off as that I know something about Spanish. I'm not sure that's so true. But te amo is usually used in more of a direct love statement between you and it could be romantic between a husband and wife, a man and his girlfriend, whatever. And also it's used within your family. Te quiero tends to be a little broader in definition. You can use it for all those former reasons, but it also is the type thing you say between you and your friends. You're telling them you want them. You love them. And it doesn't directly translate, because in English, to tell somebody you want them can mean things that it doesn't mean down there. So it doesn't translate directly. But I want to use this. Love God. Want Him. Need Him. Desire Him. It guides your decisions. When you're trying to look at the choices that you're currently aware of and you're trying to make a decision, it's not that one of them's wrong. But sometimes it really is that one of them fits that pure love of God better. I'm going to jump over to, just to illustrate, I'm going to jump over to Philippians, the second chapter. And it's talking about more what I just said, that you love Him, you want Him, you desire Him. I'm going to start first by reading Philippians 2nd chapter and verse 13 through 15. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It affects your heart. It affects your heart. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." So I'm going to halt just for a second and go back and review. I started by reading out of Matthew where it says that the first great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to the words I just said. How was that defined? What kind of a statement was it? It was a statement of a... Huh? I'm sorry, I'm deaf as a post. Agape, a statement of love. And it said it was a commandment. It said it was a commandment. Does God command us to do something that we have absolutely no control over? What do you think? I think in society today, as I just read here, sometimes in society today, this definition fits. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, where definitions are corrupted, they're changed, they're lessened, and love has become something I can't help. Hey, I feel how I feel. I can't help it. You know, in marriages, we just grew apart. You know, keeping God's commandments is not an accident. It's an on purpose. And we don't see everything that the next minute is going to propose. I really enjoyed Adam's, it was a sermon, but he wanted it to be a study, and I really enjoyed that comparing what it is to have faith and what it is to have trust, and that they are different, and that your experience is very involved with trust. And one of the things that's been so hard for me when I've tried to counsel with people's relationships is that love between them can get so broken when the experiences they've had, they just don't trust one another. And so, you know, this love between you and God, this love between you and your neighbor, it cannot happen without also the consideration of trust, which is hard. This love of God, this love of your neighbor, it's not, I don't present it to you as easy. I present it to you as something that, as it said there in Moroni, you need to pray about with all the energy of your heart that God would help you. So yeah, our definitions are changed. And the environment ahead when we try to make choices, you know, we don't see as we ought to be able to see. We just don't. We're human. How should I say this? When you decide to take a promotion, when you take a new job, you research it. You try to figure out and know exactly what that job's going to be, and you try to prepare for it. And yet, once you get there, there will probably be days you'll say, what have I done? Because there is so many of what I call phytonones. They exist on every atomic level. They're part of the building blocks of life. You have electrons and you have protons and neutrons. And in every situation, you have phytonones. There are those things that come back to you and you go, if I'd have known this earlier, I would not have made this decision. Or I would have paid more attention to this. I know of no example I can give that doesn't entail phytonones, but you have a creator that is an expert on phytonones. And when you love him, when your very desire, the core of every decision you make, has to do with your love for him, your love for your neighbor, he communicates with you. He tries to alert you. And he tries to, even when you don't see him coming, he tries to prepare you beforehand and give you the tools that he will bring you through it. It isn't just love as we first understand it. It always entails that we need him. We honestly cannot get along without this. We need him, we love him, we want him. Let me jump, I'm ready to read out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm hurrying, I don't want to keep you too long. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to start reading with, again, verse 1. This is another one of those readings where I didn't know where to start or to end off at, so I'm going to start like I'm going to read the whole chapter, but it's not very long. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting with the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may henceforth, that we may be henceforth a new life, that we may be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And let me just halt for a second, because I think truth is so important, so important. And I was reading out of the Apocrypha, something that's not in our regular King James Version, but it was in the Apocrypha, part of the King James Version that was there for like 300 years and then taken out. But it was a discussion between a young man who was very wise in the Lord, and he was talking to the current leader. You know, Israel was in captivity, and it was at that point where it had been, what was it, 76 years that they had to be in captivity. And he asked, when they were interviewing these young men, he asked the leader of that country, what's the most important thing? And between themselves, they decided at that point, the thing they needed was the truth. And he said, okay, I agree, that's very important at this juncture. And he said, so did you promise to release the children of Israel? Did you promise to rebuild their cities and let them go free? You know, and the leader kept saying, yes, I did. And so he said, so what is the truth? And so it was actually part of the mechanics. Though the Lord had proclaimed it beforehand, it was part of the convincing that it was time to release them. But even truth is nowhere without love. We speak the truth in love. All else but love is nothing without it. Love the Lord thy God with all your might, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things hang all the law and the prophets. I just wanted to emphasize that it's even more important, not saying that you can lie, but the truth without love still gets you short. It doesn't get you there. Verse 16, is that where I was reading? Yeah, I'll repeat 15 and then I'll continue on. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I can lead off with reading there. This unity that we seek between each other is found in those first two commandments, those greatest commandments, loving the Lord, and loving your neighbor. That's what ends up guiding us to all truth. It's what ends up making us fitly joined together, a strong body that is that God is the nervous system of. He's the blood flow. He's everything. He's our guide. He brings us together. I'm going to go to kind of wrap things up. I'm going back to Matthew. Only this time I'm going to read out of chapter 6. Because I believe it talks to this particular chapter. It talks to the priorities that the priorities of that new life, once you really love God, that the life it creates for you, in you, the new set of priorities created by God. Chapter 6, I'm going to start, it's about to start with verse 1. I'm going to start with verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where the treasure is, there will your heart be also." The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll go ahead and read the last verse. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what did I read? I read that we are all supposed to be dirt poor. Why are you disagreeing? No, it's given us a set of priorities. God comes first. God comes first. And when He is first, it does supply us what we need. I know some of you have gone through things that have been really hard. And hard for a long period of time. Hard beyond our normal ability, maybe, to endure it. And in the end, things might not have come out like you wanted. And others may have disagreed with what happened in your life. But you know, God knows. He went through it with you. He went through all these things before. He knows. He understands. And He brought you through it. And it's not because you didn't want the right things, but sometimes other people don't. And that affects your life. So, back to Matthew 22. This is the first and great commandment, verse 38. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's see. Let me start with, verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So when you're going through life and it's going well, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Want Him, need Him, seek Him, cling to Him. When things are going bad, and maybe nobody seems to even want to support you, you feel lonely, you feel cast out, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything, in all things, love the Lord thy God. Have that direct relationship with Him, that desire that He creates within you will guide you through all your decisions, will support you even when it feels like no one else does. I know I really haven't presented any surprises today. This is all stuff we know, but I think we always need to be reminded. God bless you. I love you too.